083761 United States v. Smith. How are you, Ms. Kister?
Very well. Thank you, Your Honor. Nice to see you all.
Nice to see you, too.
May it please the Court.
Nice to see you, too.
Counsel. The real question here, in its plainest terms, and the one that was before the district court judge, was why did Mr. Smith have this gun in his car? And there's a couple of scenarios, both of which are offered by Mr. Smith himself. One comes via his post-arrest statement where he says he's transporting it to get it appraised. He gives a contrary explanation when he's under oath at trial. He says it wasn't mine at all. It belonged to the other guy that was helping me rehab a house. And he was the one who found it, and he was the one who had it. I'm in the unenviable position of suggesting to the court that the more plausible explanation is the first rather than the second one, which, albeit was under oath by Mr. Smith, I think there is.
So, in other words, you're saying that he appears to be arguing that the gun was not connected to the drugs because he was planning on selling the gun, and you've got to argue against the fact that he may have waived the argument by presenting a conflicting argument, that is, that the gun was not his. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know that he would have waived the argument. I think the argument is there. It's preserved. The court, it was up to the judge to determine why that gun was there, why he had it, whether it was in furtherance of his drug sales or for some unrelated, accidental, coincidental reason. I would suggest that there is, given the record and given what we know the facts here, it's not unreasonable to infer that we know he wasn't a major drug trafficker. This is not a large scale dealer by any measure. He's a drug addict. He's selling dime bags of heroin. He's got, I think, $139 on him when he's arrested.
Could I ask you this? I mean, this is a sentencing appeal, right? We're not worried about anything on conviction. And first of all, this finding was really a credibility call on the district court's part, which of Mr. Smith's statements were believable. But secondly, does it make any difference? Wasn't he a career criminal?
I think it makes a difference in that even if, and the government raised this point in its brief, that he may well have been at a criminal history category of 6 regardless because of his career criminal status, which was never at issue and was always conceded at sentencing. My position would be that he still would have been at a level 33 rather than 34 but for this connection of the gun to the drug trafficking. And, yes, it's a credibility question.
Now,
clearly,
why would he have been at a 33 instead of 34? It seems to me, doesn't his conviction have a statutory maximum that brings him up to a 34?
I think not. I think the two counts he was convicted on were lower than that, and that under 4B1.4, the level 34 kicks in only if the enhancement is there. That's my reading of the guidelines. So I think he would have been or should have been at a level 33 and possibly a category 6, which would have dropped him down to a guideline range of 235 to 293, as opposed to the one that the court found, which was 262 to 327. So it would have knocked him down one notch.
But the offense statutory, what's the offense statutory maximum in your view?
I believe it was 20, Your Honor.
You think it was only 20, not 40?
He had no drug priors. I think it was 20. Now, I could be wrong, in which case that may moot
so we can
that reduction.
That, yeah.
But to get back to your question regarding the credibility and the finding of, or his lack of credibility in the eyes of the judge, clearly the judge is entitled to consider that. But I think the court also needs to consider and should have considered the fact that the jury did reject that third count. It found, for whatever reason, that the gun was not possessed in furtherance of the drug trafficking. And
in my... That's a slightly different question, though, right?
Well, possibly. I mean, clearly they found he possessed a gun in convicting him of count one, and they found that he was in possession of drugs with the intent to distribute in convicting him of count two, and it's hard to go beneath those two findings.
And we just need an in connection with for the guidelines. You don't need the next notch up, you know, further.
Clearly. And, yes, it is a different standard. It's a preponderance standard by the court rather than a, you know, finding by the jury.
Well, it's a slightly different question. I'm just saying in connection with is not quite the same thing as in furtherance of.
Correct, although the court seems to borrow the language interchangeably. You know, if you give the plain meaning to either term, the question is, was his gun there to somehow further his drug sales, to stave off somebody robbing him, to scare off would-be robbers? But I think on these facts, you can find that, you know, he didn't have much money. He didn't have much in the way of drugs. He wasn't a big-time dealer. That distinguishes him from the plethora of other defendants who, you know, where this court has made that connection, where there's been a lot of drugs, large quantity, a lot of sales, a lot of weapons.
Let me make sure I have the facts right. This, when the officer, you know, when driver was reaching in his lap and everything, and when the officer finally looked behind the seat, he found the white hand towel, and it was not just the gun wrapped around it, but there were 16 baggies of drugs in the towel.
And you're not incorrect. And that is in the record, Your Honor. And clearly that's problematic for me. There is a presumption there.
Well, especially on this connected to, and the fact that the standard is lesser. I mean, the dope wrapped in with the gun, is the dope is touching the gun.
By the same token, that those circumstances were not well developed in the record. I don't think there was a suppression hearing in this case. The only testimony we have is from the officer at trial, and he's not examined very long on those circumstances. He sees movement in Mr. Smith's lap, and then he sees something white going behind the seat, and yes, that towel is white and contains the drugs and the gun. But whether Mr. Smith had that gun out for everybody to see when they approached him to transact their business or not, we don't know. He might have gotten nervous and decided, you know, I'm going to wrap everything up in a towel and stick it back here to hide it. But it doesn't mean that the gun was there to further his drug sales. Thank you.
Hey. Specklenburg, good morning.
May it please the court. The district court did not commit clear error in finding, for purposes of sentencing, that the defendant possessed the weapon in connection with the drugs. The finding was entirely plausible in light of the entire record. There was evidence in the record at trial that the defendant was selling drugs from his van as he sat in the driver's seat, that the defendant had the firearm with the drugs wrapped together in a white towel in his lap, that when he saw the officers approaching, he took the towel and put it behind the driver's seat, and that the officer recovered the gun and the drugs together wrapped in the towel. The defendant concedes that it was a credibility call up to the district court judge. He had the right to credit this evidence, and he did. He had the right to discredit any evidence from the defendant, and he did. In light of that, based upon the evidence and the law, the district court did not commit a clear error in imposing the sentencing enhancement.
Now, he could have been sentenced as a career offender, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
What would his sentence have been?
I believe it was a 20-year maximum, which would give him an offense level of 32 and a criminal history category of 6. And I don't have the 32-6 range in front of me, but it would have been lower than it had he been sentenced as an armed career criminal. Hmm.
So I don't understand why it would be 20 years, actually, is a statutory maximum. He had convictions for rape, aggravated battery, and aggravated criminal sexual abuse?
Yes, Your Honor.
As priors? So why doesn't that take him under the crimes of violence branch, if you will, of the armed career criminal statute, as opposed to the controlled substances
That's what he was actually sentenced under, if I understand your question correctly.
And I'm just then wondering, under 841B1B, we can certainly take a look at it, and it probably doesn't make any difference if the guidelines alone and the credibility decisions are enough to uphold this sentence, but it would make a difference if there is some problem with the first theory.
I believe that I looked at this, Your Honor, when I first received the brief, because I wondered if it was harmless error. But in fact, I believe that based on the amount of the drugs, it was a 20-year maximum.
Okay.
If you have no further questions, we would ask that you affirm the district court sentence of the defendant. Thank you.
Nothing further except to say thank you. You were court appointed. You have represented your client admirably. And you really do have the thanks of the court. And thank you as well, Ms. Mecklenburg. All right.